So I'm Jimmy Dills to start. I'm from the Georgia Health Policy Center in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm going to be talking about public health and community development, looking at three health impact assessments and really thinking about how to inform future collaboration between sectors, doing that really under the sort of health and all policies theme. So I'm going to ask first, just so I know kind of who I'm talking to, how many folks in the audience have worked with or been involved with community development projects? Okay, so about half. How many have been involved with or are familiar with health impact assessments? All right, even more than that. Good. How many people are having a good time in Chicago? All right. So I'm going to give you an overview, kind of the purpose and introduction to the projects we looked at in our evaluation. And then part one, we looked at the process of how the HIAs were conducted and the partnerships therein. Part two focuses on the impacts to the decision-making context that we each of the projects was operating in. And then part three is sort of implications for future collaborative practice between health and community development, and then questions. So, like I said, we're really thinking about building on insights from these specific health impact assessments to examine process impacts and perceptions to then really think about how to continue doing this great work, because we feel like the fields are very well allied, but we need to continue to have these collaborative projects to work on for professionals from the different sectors really be able to work together and leverage relationships to get the greatest impact, both from a health perspective and from a community development perspective. So originally, in the abstract and original title for this, it was about informing a toolkit, but since you have to do these abstracts so far in advance, the project actually changed a good bit, and our funder realized that there was a lot more going on in community development and health than just these projects, so we sort of held off on the toolkit, and now the report that I'm basically giving you the highlights from is feeding up to the Health Impact Project, and they're going to use it as part of other white papers and sort of a series of materials they're putting together that are looking at community development and health impact assessment specifically. So I should say that this work was funded by the Health Impact Project, a collaborative of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Pew Charitable Trusts. And the things I'm telling you are not reflective of their views. So, and I also don't have any significant relationships to disclose. I forgot to put that slide in here. So the three projects we were looking at, one was in Connecticut. Is anybody here from Connecticut? Nope, no people from Connecticut. All right. So I was looking at the Northeast neighborhood in Hartford, Connecticut, and it was actually an integrated HIA looking at a sustainability plan for that neighborhood and kind of layering an HIA onto that process, and it was conducted by Community Solutions, which is a nonprofit community development group, actually run out of New York City, but they have a Hartford office and a whole Hartford partnership that this work was built around, and they collaborated with Michael Singer Studio, which is an urban design group, that was their partner on the sustainability plan. So that was the first HIA. The second was the one we did in Georgia, looking at our qualified allocation plan for low-income housing tax credits. So we conducted that and just wrapped it up a few months ago and are getting a lot of our communication materials out. We actually have some handouts in the back specific to that project if you're interested in that. I should also say for this, is anyone here from Georgia? All right, the two people that worked with us and one other person. All right. Is anybody here from Massachusetts? Originally. All right. Where are you people from, if not these three states? So the one in Massachusetts was a state-level policy looking at the Community Investment Tax Credit Program. So that's really and I don't profess to be an expert in this specific program, but it's basically the state-level funding program for community development corporations around the state, and there's a lot of different mechanisms within that on how to get community development work funded across the state of Massachusetts. So those are the three projects that were conducted pretty much between 2013 and 2015, all funded by Health Impact Project as a community development HIA cohort. So those are the three projects. I'm not going to go into specific results of each of those projects. This is the high-level evaluation of the three of them, and I'll kind of pepper this with examples from each project. And if you have any specific questions about the projects, I can try to answer them. But my knowledge decreases from Georgia to Connecticut to Massachusetts. So our methods, since this was one cohort, we tried to work together as a cohort of HIAs to develop some shared evaluation questions across the projects at the beginning. We were not as successful in that as we would have liked to have been as we came around and actually did the evaluation. And I think that's just because the three projects, you know, we all sort of started at a similar time, but then just the nature of HIA and I imagine community development projects as well, the reality of the practice sort of, they all dispersed in terms of timelines, so they didn't quite line up as exactly as I think we thought they would at the beginning of this. We still had a few shared evaluation questions that we looked at. Then we also looked at HIA minimum elements and practice standards to look at the HIA process. Then we had feedback and review from project teams on some of the preliminary results we pulled together. And then we also did some interviews with community development stakeholders from each of the projects. So we were real conscious about getting folks from the community development sector, the practitioners from that side of things, to really reflect on their experiences with the HIAs and how they were involved and how they see it affecting their practice going forward. So part one was processed based on version 3 of the minimum elements and practice standards produced by the Society of Practitioners of HIA, which I'll give a shout out to later on. But all three projects fully or partially met all of the 8 minimum elements and fully or partially met 88% of the practice standards. And there's about 80 to 90 practice standards, depending on which ones are relevant for each project, which is pretty good. EPA did an evaluation of several HIAs. Flo, I'm going to point to you. About, 80 HIAs? And found that across the board, HIAs were maybe not meeting the practice standards as directly as we would like. And I think this 88% is a little bit higher than the average for that project. So we are doing a good job of getting to what we consider the core parts of HIA. There was a handful of you that weren't familiar with HIA, so I'm just going to sort of run through the minimum elements with a little bit of examples from each project, but this is a big part of the evaluation looking at the process. So first, HIA is a prospective tool. It looks at plans or projects that are under consideration by decision makers and is conducted in advance of the decision. So we have the crystal ball there. It's forward-looking. All three of the projects were very much looking at future decisions. A little caveat there with the Connecticut project because it was a concurrent HIA and sustainability plan, which did lead to a little bit of differences in practice for that one specifically, but the other two were very much looking at state-level decisions before they were made and trying to inform the state-level practice there. So the second minimum element is engaging stakeholders affected by the proposal, particularly vulnerable populations. All three did a really good job at that, and I don't expect you to be able to see all of this, but this is just a table showing different kind of stakeholder perspectives and how each of the projects engaged them, either being direct engagement with community residents in Connecticut or having community development practitioners on steering committees on the Georgia and Massachusetts projects. Most had input from academia, subject matter experts for some of the specific topics that were looked at. In Georgia, it was rural issues, aging services. In Connecticut, they had a specific part that was looking at parks and recreation, so they had specific stakeholders kind of come in to bring that added perspective. So in each of these, they had advisory or steering committee, or I think Massachusetts had a third thing to call it, but basically the same idea, a group of about 20 to 30 interdisciplinary practitioners bringing in all these different perspectives to each of the projects going forward. And so the third minimum element is that HIA systematically considers a wide range of potential health impacts, both from an outcome and determinants standpoint, and incorporates health equity. All three did that. Again, probably not able to see these, but this is just to illustrate. On the left is the health determinants considered in each of the HIAs. There was a good bit of overlap there at the top, and then they kind of go down. So kind of standard demographics of the population. Georgia, Massachusetts looked at civic engagement. Connecticut looked specifically at very micro level neighborhood factors that weren't quite as relevant for the state level projects. Massachusetts looked at brownfield remediation as part of things that community development corporations could do in Massachusetts. So those are all sort of the determinants that were looked at in some way in the HIAs, and then the outcomes. Similarly, a little bit of overlap of the big chronic diseases, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, asthma, respiratory diseases. Then Georgia, Massachusetts looked at cancer. Massachusetts had suicide, substance abuse, so maybe had a little more of a mental health perspective. Georgia looked at all-cause mortality and early years of potential life loss is one of our key outcomes in that project. So again, just to show that there's a lot you can look at in these different projects, and really trying to line all those up across three projects, you see that you can do good work in three different settings and look at, you know, a host of different outcomes and determinants moving forward. So the fourth minimum element is HIA provides a profile of existing conditions and populations affected by the proposal, and relevant to the health issues examined in the HIA. So all three did that. These are just maps. All three used GIS mapping to show this. It's probably, you can't really tell on the Massachusetts map, but they were able to map the Community Development Corporation service areas on top of county level health data. This one is substance abuse treatment rates. And so then they were able to show, you know, what are the rates of substance abuse treatments within CDC service areas and without. In the Georgia project, we used demographic cluster data from the state health department that looks at, was it 25 different socio-demographic indicators and categorizes census tract level or block level, Michelle?
Block group.
So by block groups across the whole state, so we were able to characterize the health of the population in a very kind of nuanced way across 25, an index developed based on 25 different indicators. And then in Connecticut, there in the bottom left, I used a health equity index at the neighborhood level to basically show comparatively within Hartford that the Northeast neighborhood is worse off in most of the outcomes and determinants they were looking at. So the fifth minimum element is HIA has characterized the proposal's impact on health, health determinants, health equity, and documents, data sources, analytic methods, quality of evidence, and methodological assumptions and limitations. And so this was the one that none of the projects actually fully met this standard, and that's because when you get down to really explicitly stating assumptions and limitations or quality of evidence, none of them really hit on all those to you know, fully meet the standard, but they all, you know, got to it in some way. And I think that points to, again, the adaptability of HIA and the variability of the practice. So, you know, community development group working in a community in Connecticut, they were not, you know, did not have strong public health analytic background. And so this was a little more of a foreign concept to them to really piece all the, you know, the methodological pieces of this together. They were still able to get to, you know, predictions of health impact, but maybe in a more high-level way than the Massachusetts or Georgia projects that were led by public health teams and really dug into some of the data and are more used to or more comfortable with the idea of, you know, methodological assumptions and limitations and really using that kind of language of science in the work that they do. So the sixth minimum element is providing recommendations as needed to actually, you know, enhance the health benefits and mitigate any of the negative health effects predicted for the decision you're looking at. And so each of the three did make a lot of quality recommendations to the process. Again, within the Connecticut one, it was an integrated process, so the recommendations really were, it wasn't just HIA making recommendations to a plan. The HIA informed the final recommendations for the community plan, kind of all in one process. In Massachusetts and Georgia, a lot of different recommendations were made to the state agencies that were responsible for the programs, and both had pretty good success at getting those recommendations adopted into the policy as it was implemented. So the seventh is producing a publicly available report and sharing it with the stakeholders and just trying to get the word out about the work that was being done. So again, all these did this. This chart just shows the different audiences that each HIA planned to look at. There was probably some variations of success in actually getting the information out to these groups, but I found it interesting that the only two that reached across all three was nonprofits and community groups, and then policymakers and legislatures. But then you can see just different audiences chosen for different aspects of the report going forward. And then finally, the last minimum element is to propose indicators, actions, and responsible parties for a plan to monitor the implementation of the recommendations. And so each of the projects has done a pretty good job at getting to that, especially in Connecticut, where again they're you know, part and parcel of the process. So they, you know, they're not only the ones making the plan, they're also very involved in implementing it. So they're going to be able to track the health indicators that they looked at over time. In Georgia, we've built a good relationship with the Department of Community Affairs, who's our state-level community development stakeholder. And so we're working with them to try and track some of the changes. And then similarly in Massachusetts, a lot of the relationships built through the HIA are going to help them to continue to evaluate the impact of that program and that funding structure on community development activities across the state. So in summary for part one, looking at the process, adaptability of HIA really emerged as the major theme here. So like I've been mentioning, Connecticut was an integrated process, so it was really not even running parallel. They were very much overlapping each other in terms of incorporating HIA into an ongoing neighborhood, you know, planning effort. And I think some of the learnings from that was it might have been, especially for it to be the first HIA this group was involved with, it might have worked a little bit better to have that sustainability plan move a little bit further ahead and then have the HIA inform that rather than trying to, you know, do this new process along with an existing process. But in the end, it still really helped them, you know, understand the health implications of the type of work that they were doing and really choose, you know, so they had I forget how many they started out with, but about 9 or 10 community opportunities that they were using the sustainability planning process to narrow down to the ones that they could really move forward with in this plan, and they ended up with 4 final ones, which were very much informed by their potential to impact health going forward. So in Georgia, the adaptability really played out in that ours was a fairly nonlinear process due to some infrastructure issues with getting the data, engaging stakeholders, kind of coming in and out of the process. But in the end, we were able to piece it all together and actually have a very good impact on the targeted decisions that we were looking at. And like I said, have been able to build those relationships and are looking forward to carrying that forward in future work. And then in Massachusetts, the adaptability of the process was able to allow them to look at a wide range of topic areas that were relevant to specific community development corporation activities. And the CITC program. So that really meant that they sort of, the HIA team knew what they wanted to look at, but then as they engaged with the community development sector stakeholders and went to their meetings and really tried to meet them where they were on these types of topics, that they were able to then sort of go back and adjust the scope of their HIA accordingly and were able to then focus on things that were specifically relevant to the groups they were trying to influence. So that's the process. So the impacts is thinking about how did the projects influence those targeted decisions and the context within those decisions within which those decisions arise. So really the big things are understanding connections, looking at opportunities for future collaborations, and then continuing to develop relationships with the stakeholders to develop further understanding of what each, you know, kind of party does. So the first example comes from Massachusetts, and in their assessment, it exposed the community development corporations to, you know, a different level of data that they had probably not worked with before. When you really layer the health outcomes and health determinants on top of demographic data, and it helped them to get a better understanding of the communities they worked in, and led to interest in continuing to measure and look at those types of things as part of a holistic and healthy community. Really, the ability to bring in that health angle was very attractive to them, and especially given that this is a funding mechanism, it really opened their eyes to, oh, if we can bring in this health dimension, you know, which we learned through this HIA process, that might open up new doors for different funding streams for our individual community development corporations if we're able to show that what we're doing is affecting health, you know, in addition to, you know, improving the community by other metrics that they might be more used to using. So the second kind of big theme of the impacts was the relationships forged or enhanced through the process led to opportunities for future HIA or other collaborations. So in this example, Community Solutions in Connecticut, they really saw after this work, they became sort of the go-to organization. They also called themselves the quarterback organization within Hartford, more broadly, not just within the Northeast neighborhood, but broadly within Hartford, to work on an array of community development projects. And they identified a lot of that opportunity stemming from the work they did with the HIA and the Northeast Sustainability Plan and the ability to, you know, connect future work to those types of recommendations beyond just that one neighborhood. So then the third is this idea of following up after, you know, you make your recommendations, but continuing to work with your decision makers and your community development stakeholders to understand, oh man, I already went over time. Sorry. To continue to develop the relationship and the understanding of the different sectors. So in Georgia, our example for this is we had a specific set of recommendations about pedestrians and bicycle activity in funded housing developments. And the pedestrian recommendations were adopted and the bicycling ones weren't. And so we were very curious about that. And in our kind of follow-up meetings with DCA, they indicated that, you know, we understand the purpose of the bicycle, but, you know, it might just be too much all at once for our stakeholders and the other folks that they had to, you know, bring into their process beyond, you know, us as the health people, which helped us understand a little better the trade-offs they were making every year as they develop this policy and are trying to satisfy a lot of different perspectives and the trade-offs that they have to do that. So finally, the implications for future practice. We had some from the project teams and some from community development stakeholders. So from the project teams, they were really interested in balancing the evidence-based public health perspectives with best practices in community development decision-making. So we really saw, tension might be too strong of a word, but between sort of the evidence-based mindset of public health and the best practices mindset of a community development practitioners, and trying to really align those going forward. Something the practitioners recognized was that we needed to incorporate stronger economic analyses and build alignment between the two fields, because their community development is very bottom line driven, especially in the housing development one that we looked at. And then also that details of HIA methods may not really be relevant to a lot of the community development stakeholders involved in these. They're more concerned with the results. So they don't need to know all the nitty-gritty process of getting the HIA findings. They just want to see the findings and the recommendations that they can then run with. Whereas the public health folks want to see those methods and want to see all the, how the sausage is made, essentially. And then finally, the two projects in Massachusetts and Georgia that focused on state-level decisions, we learned from that process that there might have been, I don't want to say more impact, but it would have been good if we had the resources to really drill down and do some local case studies to really make it a little bit more real to specific community development corporations or specific communities and community developers that we were working with in Georgia. And that's something we're actually doing in Georgia, carrying this forward. We're actually going to do some HIA of local level developments that are influenced by the state level policy that we're talking about here. So from the community development practitioners, these six themes really came out of interviews with them, thinking about existing holistic perspectives of community, adding capacity to include a health lens where they didn't even think about it before, and process improvement through new information, and being very cognizant of not adding additional burdens or additional reporting requirements. So in that case, if you want to do HIA, you really want to figure out how to roll it into existing practices that they have within the field. The community development field is very network and relationship-based, which I think a lot of other fields would be. So it would really behoove the public health professionals trying to get involved with this to go to those meetings, join those working groups, and really try to build it from a relationship perspective, which is then going to help when you get to a project-level perspective to move forward. And then information needed to advance collaborations, that kind of aligned with the practitioner view that we needed more and stronger economic data about the implications of health outcomes and how that affects the economic stability of neighborhoods or specific projects. And then just being, like I said, the community development practitioners don't necessarily want to see all the methods behind it. They just want to see the core recommendations going forward. And so I have quotes and little stories for each of these from them, but I'll just get to the last one, because the stakeholder said, the involvement I had made me feel like it was really big. Just being able to grab the top three recommendations would be helpful. So I think that's really indicative of sort of a public health mindset of we want to get into the weeds and really figure it out and talk about it and all the moving parts of it, whereas the community development practitioners might be a little more inclined to accept on faith that these recommendations are based in evidence and are going to have public positive implications. So as you're working to engage with them, you kind of want to come from that perspective, but you certainly want to have that methodological approach kind of behind all that for when questions arise or when people may question your results. So I jumped over that. The big conclusion, the end is near. So adaptability is really a strong part of HIA and helps it integrate into community development practice. The information exchange between the sectors is most valuable when it extends beyond the individual projects. So being able to leverage the one-off projects into a broader relationship to work to improve health through community development. And then the community development and public health practitioners are natural allies, but may approach projects with a little bit different priorities. So again, getting back to that idea of public health likes evidence, community development likes best practices, and where you can align those, you're going to get the best results. So this is my quick shout out to Sophia. We're here if you're interested in HIA and learning more about it. HIASociety.org is a great resource, and we have some materials at the National Network of Public Health Institutes booth, number 845. And that's all I have, and since I went over my time, unless there are any burning questions right now, I will hand it over to the next speaker. Hearing none.